here's a story from The World.
The world's top diplomat had some ominous words today on the state of global cooperation.
The solidarity envisioned in the United Nations Charter is being devoured by the acids of nationalism and self-interest, by a shocking disregard for the poorest and most vulnerable in our world.
The acids of nationalism and self-interest, so said the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He delivered a call to action today for world leaders who will start arriving at the UN General Assembly in New York next week. This is a time of great peril, Guterres said. He had just returned from Pakistan, where he saw damage from massive floods covering a third of the country.
And what is happening in Pakistan demonstrates the sheer inadequacy of the global response to the climate crisis and the betrayal and injustice at the heart of it. The world's most vulnerable, who did nothing to cause this crisis, are paying a horrific price for decades of intransigence by big emitters.
Guterres offered a pointed critique of the world's richest nations. Members of the G20 produce 80% of global greenhouse gas emissions.
If 1/3 of G20 countries was underwater today, as it could be tomorrow, perhaps they would find it easier to agree on drastic cuts to emissions.
Let's turn to one example mentioned by Guterres in his remarks today, Somalia in the Horn of Africa. Somalis are seeing their worst drought in more than 40 years. The country is on the brink of famine. The UN says it needs $1 billion to prevent it. One thing that's making the humanitarian response extremely difficult, terrorism. From Baidoa, Somalia, the world's Halima Gikandi brings us more.
A United Nations convoy is passing through Baidoa in south-central Somalia. Troops from the African Union are providing security. They are stationed here because of Al-Shabaab. The Al-Qaeda affiliate has waged a deadly insurgency against Somalia's government for more than a decade. The group's operatives lurk in nearby towns and control entire swaths of territory not far from here. At a camp for internally displaced people, Lisho Iman Ali is helping someone who just arrived to build a temporary shelter. There's no food, no water, no medicine, Ali tells me. She says she left her home 3 months ago, in large part because of this drought, but also for another reason. Ali says there was no security in her village because of Al-Shabaab. She says the group demanded that she cover herself more conservatively, but she didn't have the money to buy new clothes. Fearing for her safety and out of food, she fled her home. Ali tells me she's lucky if she eats once a day at this camp, and that meal might just be some tea. Sometimes she has to beg for food for her and her family. She holds up an infant, showing me his faint yellow hair, a sign of malnutrition. My child is sick, she tells me, but I don't have money or food. Ali is one of the thousands of people who are caught between two crises right now, drought and insecurity. Abdirahman Abdi Shakur is Somalia's special presidential envoy for drought. He says Al-Shabaab is making it difficult to help communities affected by this drought.
Al-Shabaab, they are the ones who are causing the humanitarian disaster, because they are preventing people to exercise their livelihood activities, including the farming.
He says Al-Shabaab is also targeting humanitarian workers. A week ago, militants attacked vehicles carrying food aid. At least 20 people died, including women and children.
It is tragedy, really, because people are already suffering the impact of the drought, and they are doubling the suffering.
Somalia's new president has taken a hard line against terrorism. He says his government is prioritizing the fight against Al-Shabaab. Some humanitarian workers are quietly worried that this could be a distraction at a time when the drought is putting so many people in immediate danger. But Abdi Shakur says he disagrees. He says the security threat needs to be addressed.
Unless we remove that security threat, it is extremely difficult to to save those who are dying because of hunger.
This week, Abdi Shakur traveled to New York. He's there to request that the United Nations and the international community do more to help Somalia get through this drought and to prevent a famine that could be only weeks away. Abdi Shakur tells me that Somalia also needs more than emergency humanitarian aid.
Our long-term goal is to break free from this constant cycle of suffering, hunger, and crisis. Billions of dollars have been spent on aid in our country, and billions more will be spent until we get beyond emergency measures.
He says Somalia needs financing to help communities become more resilient to climate shocks. One of the short-term solutions already in place is changing what farmers grow. Mohamed Ibrahim is with the International Committee of the Red Cross in Mogadishu. It's been helping farmers in hard-to-reach areas and giving them drought-resistant seeds that can go longer without water.
With the drought-resistant seeds we have been distributing, they were able to go back to their farms and able to produce even in this difficult situation.
At the IDP camp in Baidoa, I meet Fatuma Osman. She's sitting outside of her makeshift home holding her infant son. I ask Osman if she thinks receiving seeds would help her situation. After all, she farms for a living. Yes, it would, she says, but it still depends on the rain. And right now, the upcoming rainy season is expected to fall short for the fifth time in a row. Osman says if the rain does come and end this disaster of a drought, she would want to go back home. But right now, she is focused on keeping her family alive. For The World, I'm Halima Gikandi, Baidoa, Somalia.